So hello and welcome to Pop A La Carte podcast number 8.
Woo!
Which is a second part of something we've just recorded.
Yes!
We're continuing after San Diego Comic-Con for TCA Talk. And I feel like we should qualify this before we say anything, because our TCA Talk is only going to go through Wednesday, August 2nd. So if anything comes out in the next 2 days, we don't know about it.
Right.
That's why we don't talk about it. But anyway, we should introduce ourselves. I forgot about that part. I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm May.
And we're going to start with today is CW, right?
Yeah, today was CW.
So today is CW and the DC TV news, so that May can participate before she has to take off in a few minutes.
That's right, to go see the greatest film ever, The Dark Tower. You heard it here. It's going to be amazing.
Idris Elba. That is all.
That's all that matters.
Right. So the biggest news that came from CW today was that the DC TV crossover is going to take place over 2 nights, and it's going to be Supergirl, then Arrow, on the 27th of November, and Flash, then Legends, on the 28th of November. And Mark Pedowitz said that romance is in the air as a tease for the crossover.
Oh, God.
What are your thoughts, May?
I mean, after that comment, I'm 99% sure that it's going to be some sort of wedding. And I am going to also say that I'm 99% sure that it's going to be a West Allen, a Barry and Iris wedding. And
why do you think it's going to be West Allen, May, and not the other ships?
Because they're the DC TV couple. I don't care if I get hate for that, but they are. And they at this point in time, logically speaking, they make sense to have their wedding. They're already engaged.
Right.
They already sent out the save the date cards. We know Barry's coming back from the Speed Force probably at the end of the first episode. There will be wedding planning, and the save the date card said November 20 something, but we're not exactly sure. But now that the crossover's on the 28th, it makes perfect sense for them to do that now. And since it's going to be, I think they also teased it was going to be pretty big in a TV line interview. So what big thing other than the crossover, you know?
Right. I totally agree. Plus, Barry is the character that's actually connected to everyone at this point. Like, obviously, right. Oliver is connected to Legends and to Flash, but he and Supergirl only know each other through Barry. So, like, he wouldn't be coming over for Kara's sister's wedding, right? Which would be if that was the first part. And she wouldn't come over for Oliver's wedding, because she'd be like, Oliver doesn't even like me. Why would I go hop Earth to his wedding? So now obviously it has to be Barry and Iris' wedding. Nothing else would bring everyone together. Wow, I'm so good at this.
And if people think about it, Kara and Monel can't get married,
right?
Because
he's not even here right now.
Even if he's not even here, and if they suddenly decided to get married, Monel doesn't know anybody else either.
Right.
He only has met the Flash crew, so it would make no sense for them all to come to their wedding, seeing as how they don't know anybody.
Right.
Okay. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, okay, so obviously it's Barry and Iris' wedding. And people, okay, the funny thing about this is that I know that Olicity fans really want it to be their wedding, but with the caveat that they want all the focus to be on Olicity and not on the other people. And whatever, that's fair. But on the other hand, like, West Allen fans are really mad about the idea of West Allen having the crossover wedding.
Really?
Because they think that Iris won't get any focus.
Oh.
But I'm like, here's my thing. My thing is, if the crossover is literally anything other than a West Allen wedding, anything, let's say there's no wedding, Iris isn't going to be in it. She'll show up in the Flash episode, and then they will literally forget about her for the other episodes.
Yeah.
So if it was someone else's wedding, Barry would dance with Kara at the reception of that wedding, and no one would even mention Iris.
Pretty much.
So, like, I would much rather have Iris in the crossover, and it also be her wedding. And if it was her wedding.
Absolutely. And I think if they proved anything is that, you know, they obviously care about Barry and Iris as a couple. And they proved that with the musical. They wouldn't have gone to so much trouble to make them an original song and make sure that they had this big moment that everyone remembered at the end with the proposal. So I think the only way to top that is to have a crossover wedding. And I know that a lot of people might not like it for various reasons, but it's the biggest fall DC TV thing that they have going on, and it's going to get marketed, and there's going to be photos coming out, and they're going to get a lot of attention. And what better way to have that attention then for it to be on Barry and Iris, and for Iris to be a part of, you know, possibly all four crossovers in this case.
Yeah, like, could you imagine she actually gets to step foot on another show? It would be incredible. Incredible.
I would have seen everything.
I do have to point out that you basically just said that they don't care about Elicity. You just said that the writers don't care about Elicity.
No, that's not.
Just kidding.
Arrow definitely cares about Elicity.
It's not that they don't care about Elicity. It's just that Mark Guggenheim goes back and forth on them a lot, so it's not always clear how and when they're going to push them back together. Right. They were getting there at the end of last season, but in terms of where they are right now, I don't see them getting married at this moment.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would you have the save the date card be November 20-something? Like, the last part is blurry, but it was obviously November 20-something for Barry and Iris. And then have the wedding be like, actually, it's going to be this other person's wedding. I could see the wedding pushing Oliver and Felicity closer together, or, like, deciding to, I don't know, elope or something, because they seem like the eloping couple. I don't know why. Plus, they already had their fake wedding earlier in the show. I don't remember what season 4, right? They had that fake wedding.
Yeah.
So they don't.
And they had a fake. And then they had last year's crossover on Arrow. They had a sort of wedding with Laurel.
They had Laurel
and
Oliver's almost wedding in the dream world.
I'm gonna say
they don't care about Felicity.
I would much rather see Laurel and
Oliver together. Oh my god! Say it again.
I would much rather see Laurel and Oliver together.
Mind blown.
And I don't watch the show. I stopped watching Arrow. What season are we on now?
5.
5 is about to go into. I stopped watching halfway through season 3. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. I nothing against people who like Elicity, mm-hmm. but I don't, and I love romance, but I don't find their story compelling.
Right.
And I think both characters, or both actors, have more chemistry with everybody else they've ever shown them.
Wow. Wow, that is a very strong opinion.
I personally liked Felicity.
I'm gonna get hate mail.
Ray. That's like a different subject.
You like Felicity and Ray? I did too. No,
Felicity and Roy. I like Felicity and Barry better.
See, there you go.
I mean, I don't really care about Barry and Iris. That's where they're gonna go, so I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But Felicity with Barry was better than Felicity with Oliver.
See, here's my thing. I do think that, right? You're like, no. I think that Felicity and Oliver...
This is not that
you're like,
argument.
I don't like this conversation anymore. I'm exiting this conversation. No. I like Felicity and Oliver's chemistry. I do think they have good chemistry. But like you said, I don't find that story compelling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine. Like, it's like, obviously that's what's happening. So, like, I'm fine with it. And if they just put them together and, like, not make the drama about them, then that makes for a better show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think I said that before, but that's the case for anything. You know, like, it'd be a better show if you just marry Barry and Iris and then don't put the drama on them. Put the drama on other things. That's great. Then everyone is happy, right?
Yeah.
So,
because you know what the problem is?
Mm-hmm.
You expect that. You don't want them to get married most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Barry and Iris might be an exception because they haven't. Because the way they've played their relationship,
mm-hmm.
it hasn't been a will they, won't they as much as anything else. But I think if I were an Elicity fan, I would not want Oliver and Felicity together until the very end, to be honest. Because the next thing that's going to happen is going to be reproductive drama or... somebody comes in to
almost cheating drama.
They're never going to be a happy couple on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not the way those writers want to write that couple.
Right.
So if I were a fan of them, I would be like, I want them together, but at the very, very end, the last minute, just to know they went off into the sunset together.
I want that Sabrina the Teenage Witch ending.
Yeah.
Because Arrow isn't a happy show, period. So I totally get where you're coming from on that.
Yeah.
Although neither was Flash this season, which is why I'm no longer watching it.
Right. Well, they have promised they're going to get happy again. So maybe like halfway through the season, I'll let you know. I'll be like, hey, everything's been happy so far. Everyone's happy all the time. There's no time travel.
Oh God, please.
Which,
no.
By the way, that's actually literally like someone asked at the panel, someone asked like, well, how could Savitar kill Iris if Savitar only existed because Iris was dead, right? And then he was like, the showrunner, Todd Helbing, he was like, that's why we're not doing time travel next season.
Because we don't obviously know how to do it
exactly.
Sorry, guys.
And it's funny though, because like, I feel like the explanation is so simple, but like they made it seem difficult.
I don't think they thought it through.
Yeah.
I'm not I'm not saying I'm completely quitting the DC TV shows, mm-hmm. but I get the feeling that at this point I would be better off waiting until the end of the season.
Yeah, and then you can binge
and
it.
Have people tell me what it's mm-hmm. like, and I think it might not drive me so nuts if mm-hmm. I binged it.
Right.
And just know what the ending is. Mm-hmm. I think those shows don't work episodic for yeah. me.
You didn't see season 2 of Legends, though, right?
No, I only ever watched the first episode.
Okay, well,
of
I would suggest if you just watch season 2 of Legends, not season 1, don't bother.
Don't bother.
But just watch season 2 of Legends, see if you like that, because that was just super fun, just super silly, just like, you know. And at least it was clear they had a plan and whatever. They followed through that plan, so it was fine.
Well, that's good.
Now, the entire crossover will not be a wedding, so we can. that would be, like, right? One thing that happens in the crossover.
I'm like, no, this is a DC TV crossover. There's going to be something else.
Right. So
one event will be a wedding, and the other event will be something they have to fight.
Right. So what do we think they're going to have to fight? Because Wendy Miracle from Arrow did say it was a comic book story that they are going to base the crossover on. So does anyone have any DC comic book stories that they really like, that they wish it was? You're disgusting. You Marvel fan.
I'm terrible.
You Marvel fan. It's all right.
Except that I don't even read the main characters from Marvel either.
Right.
Like, the only big characters I've read are the X-Men.
Yeah, same. No, same. So, I don't read the big ones. I read the lesser ones.
I read
ones.
Jessica Jones. I
read
Alias.
I love Jessica Jones.
Alias is one of my favorites.
My only thought would be something that would build towards Crisis, the 2024 article where, you know, Barry disappears, but I am drawing a blank. It won't be Aliens. We can rule that out.
Right, it won't be Aliens.
I'm sure that you have plenty of theories, so go for
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I've definitely seen people saying they wish it was Blackest Night, and I would love for it to be Blackest Night. But, guys, we don't have Green Lanterns. We have no Lanterns, and we have no Guardians.
Yeah.
So how are you going to do Blackest Night? It's not going to happen. it would just be another flashpoint where it's, like, not the same, and then people are really mad that it wasn't the same. And it's like, well, you asked for it. So I don't think it's that. But if they wanted to do one that is based on a wedding, like, I know literally the wedding of the Flash, which is when Linda and Wally get married, and then, of course, just replace it, make it Barry and Iris, and then it's Abracadabra, who we've already introduced, who, like, puts, like, a curse on everybody, and, like, people, like, forget shit, like, he takes, like, Linda, and then, like, Wally doesn't remember that she existed, and, like, you know, whatever, so, like, I feel like that would be, like, something that you could do if you wanted to start it with, like, wedding shenanigans
right.
that then leads to the issue.
Possible because they've already taken a couple of Wally's stories and made them for
yep.
Barry. So
yep. Barry has already stolen half of Wally's life, including Linda. So,
Linda, who I really want back on the show.
Yeah.
But
who is Linda?
Linda Park is Wally's wife in the comics,
oh.
and she was played by Malise Zhao in the show, and
uh-huh.
she dated Barry for 2 episodes in season 1,
oh,
and then became
remember.
Iris' friend in season 2.
Yes, I remember now.
Yeah, she's very cool, and I wish she'd come back, but
yeah,
I don't know. Flash doesn't love women, so I don't know that we're going to see her back.
Sad, I know.
It's sad, but true. It's sad, but it must be sad. So, I'm trying to think of any other options, like, Prometheus is dead, so there's no point in doing the... Because I was like, they could steal from Ollie and Dinah's wedding in the comics. But that's got Prometheus, and he is dead. But I'm trying to think, what are... I like the idea of doing Crisis, and I feel like it's got to be one of the crossovers. But I also feel like Grant Gustin said that they are building towards Crisis. Like, they have a 10-year plan. And Crisis
mm-hmm.
would be the final year.
Right.
That would make sense
right,
to have that at the end.
Yeah. Because that's when Barry dies.
I would like to see Abracadabra again, because I thought he was, you know, he was a more memorable
yeah.
meta. Of
yeah, and he was,
so
like, sort of wasted in a depressing
made everybody
ass.
Forget, and
yeah.
ended it on a happy note.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely seeing, like, people gathering in the first episode, and then the thing happens, right? And it's like, we have to fight. And that way the Arrow episode can be, like, the depressing ass, like, everything is going horribly wrong episode, right? As it should be, because it's Arrow. And then... And then, I love you, Arrow, it's fine. And then Flash will be like, oh, we're not going to let fear win. We have to get married anyway, so we get married. And now let's go battle again, right? And then Legends will be like, okay, now we've won, right?
At the end of it,
big battle happens in Legends, you win, and then you have, like, a little, like, party on the Wave Rider, right? Everyone parties on the Wave Rider before they go
home. Let's have a reception on the Titanic.
Exactly. Exactly.
We can
so,
go somewhere crazy.
The Titanic. Oh, that reminds me of that.
It'd be a sinking ship, though. You don't want that
yeah,
as
no.
your
that,
metaphor.
That's like your metaphor? No. That does remind me, though, that the Legends trailer did have Victor Garber being like, I hate the Titanic. Whoever made that should be shot.
Oh my god, I'm so excited that they're bringing Billy Zane onto the show.
Oh,
are
yeah.
They? That's fun.
Yeah, nice little reunion. But they all, back to, the TCA, I just remembered that they also confirmed that it was a full four-show crossover. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be at the end of Supergirl where the last 2 minutes,
were the same scene from The Flash.
Yeah, right?
That was annoying. That was frustrating. It was like, that's not a four-episode crossover. That doesn't count.
Yeah, that's like wasting everyone's time.
And people tuned in to Supergirl who didn't watch Supergirl were like, wait, this scene just happened last night, so we didn't have to watch Supergirl at all. So they felt they were tricked.
And it didn't make people want to watch it. It just made them bitter.
Yep, exactly. That was a bad move, guys. But I do think that having two shows each night for two nights is a good move. So well done with that. Because I was sitting there wondering, like, how is the crossover going to work? Like, one episode of Supergirl, then two episodes on Tuesday, and then nothing on Wednesday, and then Arrow on Thursday is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. So, I'm glad they were just like, nope, just kidding. Valor can take a break.
They said, I think they also said for next year they might go back to the four-night thing, but I think I like the idea of two nights, two-hour movie-ish type thing going on.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
I agree. That way it's just, like, condensed.
As long as everybody gets to be happy at the end, that's all I
really I don't think you're going to see happy for a very long time. I don't know, man.
Maybe not on Arrow, but...
Yeah, that's the wrong show to be watching.
It's funny, like, happy. They'll be happy on Supergirl, but I won't be happy with their happiness. Did you see the thing at CW today?
No.
So one of the members of TCA, when they up to ask, I guess they said something about Mon-El coming back, and the guy was like, nobody wants that.
Really? Yeah.
And Mark Pedowitz responded with he said, I think people would disagree with you. And basically
and then
said,
they were like, no, nobody wants that.
Yeah, exactly, for real. Nobody wants it. But he's like, no, it's a good story, and we're in love with Chris Wood, so obviously we're not going to get rid of him. He didn't say that, but that's obviously
the
thing. Yeah. Has read articles complaining about him?
Right? Yeah. I mean, I get, it is true. Like, it's not a lie. Caramel has fans. Like, yes, there are fans of it, but there could be fans of anything, right?
Yeah.
So it's just not, I don't know how they see it, that it is a good story. I don't understand. They did in that round table that I think I sent you, May, the showrunners did respond that the reason they switched James out for Mon-El was that you needed to have, like, the drama in the relationship because, like, James was, like, too good of a person. So, like, Mon-El's, like, not a good person, and that, like, creates drama.
Bullshit reason.
And I was like, you're
too perfect for each other.
Like, you can't create other drama? Like,
I just, I like James. Mm-hmm. I like the character. Although I still wish they had made him not James. Like, I think Jeremy Jordan's more Jimmy than McCott is. But just if you go by the comics. Mm-hmm. But I like McCott a lot. But I just, it was so forced and slammed down your throat. But they did the same thing with Mon-El.
Exactly. Like, that's
both seasons. Like, they're just slamming those relationships down your throat. And it's like, it's not happening organically.
Mm-hmm.
I do think she has more chemistry with Chris Wood.
Oh,
but that's because they're actually dating.
Yeah, exactly. that's why.
Interesting because I don't find that they have chemistry at all.
Really?
I feel like she doesn't. I mean, I liked her and James, and I thought that it was going somewhere until they just cut it off abruptly. But with Mon-El, it's just that they completely removed James and put Mon-El in there to pretty much take over the story and her story as well. And make everything about him. And then I feel like she didn't really develop the season because everything was about his journey and all that stuff. So it was very, very frustrating. Plus, he wasn't exactly like the greatest man ever to live. He was very stereotypical, too cocky, always degrading, demeaning, non-supportive. It was a mess.
Yeah.
And in terms of James as, McCott as James, I would also argue that just think of him as an older, more mature version of the James Olsen you knew.
That's how I play in my mind, because like he would talk about when he was less secure, like when he befriended Clark. But I do feel like, first off, just let him be called Jimmy and not James. Like I feel like they don't help themselves with that. Like if you're gonna cast McCott, like commit to it, right? Like make him Jimmy Olsen, because I think he would have. I think that James, as he is now, I liked him, and I liked him in Kara. I wasn't, like, obsessed with it, but I did like it, and I liked car.
And it was cute, yeah. It was not like,
yeah.
I wasn't super invested, but right. It was like cute for what it was, and you could tell it was going somewhere.
Right, and I don't like her with Mon-El at all. If they had made Mon-El different, like not a slave owner, I don't know, that for a start, then I would be like, okay, that's fine, I accept it. But like everything together just makes it impossible for me to accept.
I mean,
but I have to, because it's going to stick around.
I have to qualify this with, I am not, like, I've said this before, I don't, when I watch superheroes, I don't want relationships. Like, right. I'm not here for the romance. That's not what I'm watching. Like, I love romance. I watch Jane Austen, like,
you just want your
times,
genres to be separate.
Yeah, for the superhero shows, that's not what I'm here for. Mm. And so, I honestly don't think I have a single ship that I really, like, the closest you could get is Peggy and Steve in Captain America, and that was doomed from the beginning.
Right.
And even then, I don't really need them together. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with what little we got, and it's fine.
I think my only Marvel ship of the movie so far is Pepper and Tony. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Peter MJ will be a ship when it happens, because I love Peter MJ in the comics. Yeah. Like,
I just wish they'd let her actually be MJ.
Right. I'm so mad about that. Discussion. Just call her Mary Jane. Yeah. Anyway, that's fine.
She's MJ, like, that's who she is. But anyway, that's,
right,
that's
exactly.
Like, people
I think
keep asking.
I like a balance of, you know, the superhero genre with the action and all that stuff. Right. But I also like that balance of, if it's done really well, which I think The Flash has, thankfully, the last three seasons generally done it well. So if it develops, you know, well enough, you can get really invested in them, because otherwise if it's just going to be action, I feel like there's no heart. And
I mean, I always want to have some kind of heart, and it doesn't have to be romance. It can be the family.
I prefer it to be the family, I think. Although I will say, as much as I'm not invested in Barry and Iris, they're probably the one I would say I like the best, because I don't feel like it was, like,
it
felt organic.
Yeah, exactly. So, it doesn't take over. And it's just like, I like it when you can see that they're both happening simultaneously. Like, them being together pushes, like, the fact that Iris literally, in the comics and in the show, does strengthen Barry's powers, helps it to just be, like, part of the story. Like, you know, like, oh, this romantic thing is happening so that he can get faster. You know?
Oh, I'd still rather we saw more of her outside of the romance.
I wish that,
which
too.
Which always drives me nuts.
I wish that, too. Trust me, we have been screaming that at the writers for 3 years. And they don't care. They don't care.
Yeah.
She's going to be boss of Spark Labs, so she's going to be running the ship.
Yeah, at least now. At least now she will be the team leader.
Hopefully,
team leader,
you know, we'll continue to get
it'll
more.
It'll be, like, one episode, and then it'll be over, and she'll be back to
nothing. Why you gotta do this? Why you gotta be like
that? Rain
on your parade.
I'm gonna have faith. I really don't have faith, but I'm gonna, you know.
It's good stuff. I am the Debbie Downer, just because I would rather be pleasantly surprised than let
down.
Right,
there you go.
I have to, like, since we were talking about the TCAs, they give away tons of free shit, and one of the things that they gave away, HBO gave away a Curb Your Enthusiasm, like, mug, or not mug, it was like a travel cup, and it says half empty above the line and half empty below the line. So, like, because it's Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I was like, Matt was like, this is you. And I was like, yes, it is.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
All right. Well, May, thank you for sharing your DC TV thoughts with us.
Yes,
thank you for having me on.
It's run away from the pain, and now Valerie will gloat about her time with the TCA.
Yeah, so you'll have to come listen later to hear my Haley Atwell story.
Yes, I will. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right,
bye.
Enjoy the movie.
Bye.
Okay, so we're talking about the TCAs, and I feel like we should have actually explained what the TCAs
right.
are.
Right, that's a great idea.
I just realized that. So for those who don't know, the TCA stands for the Television Critics Association, and they're a group of television critics, and twice a year they have their winter and summer tours where the networks bring their television shows that they're trying to promote, and they have panels, and it's basically supposed to be that everybody builds up enough stories for the next 6 months, so they get interviews and stuff like that. And so I haven't gone to all of them, but I was there for all of the cable stuff last week. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'll just tell my Haley Atwell story.
Yes, do it.
Okay.
Okay, wait, so you are supposed to be able to spread out that information then?
Yeah, they really prefer, at this point it's gotten to the point, like, because it used to be, I mean, before the internet was so prevalent.
Right.
they would literally do stories for this for ages. And wow. That's why you will still see some people not write their stories until months later, but it's the same stuff from the TCAs.
Yeah, exactly. So because it's like you find out all the information at once because everyone's like tweeting it out or like whatevering it. And like a couple days later or weeks later, you get articles about the same thing.
And then the interviews, they do really want you to try and hold those if you can until closer to the date. So Stars was there, and they had Howard's End, which is a co-production with the BBC. Mm-hmm. It's, I think, three parts, based on the book, of course. Three or four, I can't remember now. And Hayley Atwell stars, and along with Matthew McFadyen, and I think that's his name.
Weren't they in, like, Brideshead Revisited together or something?
Did I
make that up? I feel like she was.
Was he in that?
I don't know. I feel like they were in something together. Anyway, continue.
Matthew Cook was in Brideshead Revisited.
Oh, maybe I don't know what the Matthews are. I don't know which Matthews are which.
This continue. Matthew McFadyen is the one who was in Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley, movie.
Uh-huh.
So he is my Mr. Darcy, which, although I was kind of told don't interview him because he's not a very good interviewer. I didn't talk to him.
Oh, my gosh.
But I did. So they had a party, and that was where I went and I interviewed Hayley Atwell. And, I mean, I had a good solid, like, 20 minutes, I think, almost with her.
Oh, wow.
And I mostly talked about Howard's End, which that interview will be going up soon. Mm-hmm. But I did because I was at the Marvel panel last week at Comic-Con, and I saw the Infinity War footage. And I don't know if you saw the beginning. Did it just show the Infinity War footage, or did it show the, like, retrospective where it was, like, the past 10 years?
I just saw the Infinity War footage.
Okay, so that footage starts with a retrospective of this is where all the time, like, all the gems are, and this is what's been going on.
Okay.
And they made a point of lingering on the time gem. And the time gem, I can't remember what he's saying, but I'm pretty sure it was Steve, and he's talking about it and how, you know, like, it's about things coming to an end and kind of like, it's really ominous if you're a Cap fan. But what's interesting is it's over shots of Peggy.
Oh,
so it's okay, over,
so that's why you thought
it's over a shot of Peggy in Winter Soldier in the bed when she's old. And then another shot of her at the end of the first Avenger when he takes off in the plane and she gets out of the car and looks back.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting because you're lingering on Peggy again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just kind of an idea. The time gem can manipulate time. We saw that in Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. That's what he does with Dormammu and fucks him over, like, you know, dies 85 times.
Right.
and so it just seemed like one of the things we were thinking was, could they be bringing her back somehow?
With the time gem.
With the time gem.
Okay.
Or even giving, I don't know, something. Mm-hmm. It felt really interesting because it was all, like, it was Steve talking about time coming to an end or, you know, like time moving on and stuff like that. And you're lingering on Peggy.
Okay, I see.
So, I can't remember exactly what my question was, but I did have a question along those lines with her, which again will be published. But the story that was interesting was, so I start asking her if, you know, I say, I'm sure you haven't seen the Infinity War footage. And she asked me, what's Infinity War? And I was like, oh God, this is not going well. And I just laughed. And so I tell her, you know, it's the next Avengers movie, the one they just filmed. And she's like, okay. And so then I start explaining the footage. Mm-hmm. So I say something about that, what I just said, which was that it's talking about the time gem. And she's like, what are the gems? And then I say, they go in the gauntlet. What's the gauntlet? It's the big gold glove that Thanos is getting all the, who's Thanos? And I can't remember. I have to listen to my audio. But
how
I can't
far
remember.
Back did you have to go?
I know.
You knew something.
Exactly. I then asked her, she asked, she's like, so I explained who Thanos is and she's like, has he already been in the movies? And I said, yes, you know, at the end of Avengers and then he was in Guardians and he was in that cutscene in the Thor one, I think. Right. But anyway, she asked me, is it so-and-so? And I can't remember who it was, but I was like, no, it's Josh Brolin. So then I get through the rest of that.
Right.
Finally. And ask my question, whatever it was, and I can't remember now. And so she's really nice, but then I said something, you know, I was like, I should have just stopped. I'll be honest, I should have just let it go. But then I was like, well, Captain Marvel then talks, you know. And she's like, that's Brie Larson. So she got one.
Yes!
And then, you know, I talked about the possibility of Peggy being there because that's before she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's when she's still in S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, as far as we know.
Oh.
And I say, yeah, because Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. are in it. And she asks, who's Nick Fury?
Oh, my God.
And I said, Sam Jackson. And then I said, he's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And yeah. she's like... And I created S.H.I.E.L.D., right? And I was like, okay, well, she got another one. But yeah, that was my...
She had to ask about it.
That was my question. And then she's like, you're going to walk away from this so disappointed. And I'm like, I didn't say I have a great story now, but I did. And yeah, because I had to explain to Hayley Atwell who half of the Marvel Universe are.
That's so fun.
I was like... Aww.
And I created S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
So yeah, basically, unless she was really acting... Which she could have been, but I really don't get the feeling because she was like, you're really going to walk away from this so disappointed, aren't you? Because I just don't know anything. I was like, no, I mean, you're doing other work. And then we went back to talking about what she's actually doing now. But I get the feeling that at the very least, she's not in Infinity War.
Yeah.
I guess something could happen in Avengers 4, but the fact that that was a retrospective to Infinity War footage leads me to believe that it's going to be about Cap.
Yeah.
And maybe linger on, like,
like, he might talk about it or have, like, a picture of her or something.
But she's not going to be appearing. Although, today, everybody's freaking out because she visited Marvel.
Oh, that's right. She did.
But she also did tell me that, you know, she loves Luis D'Esposito, and so she would love to do stuff.
Oh, okay.
Although I will also say... was interesting, and she said this to several people. So she made a point of saying this to several people, so it's not like it's something that she doesn't want to get out. She did basically tell me she loves playing Peggy, but it's nice to get to act again.
Oh.
And I think it was more about that she's so used to Peggy that it's not work anymore.
Right.
It's not a challenge.
Yeah.
She wanted a challenge, but she said it to several people.
Yeah.
Because I know at least two other people who interviewed her who told me, like, independently that she said that before she then said it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't get my hopes up about
her
too
returning
much.
Anyway. Yeah,
yeah, because she's enjoying doing a lot of other things. So
right, like, I mean, I could see them bring her in for, like, a cameo, like, one scene, like, in the past or
but
something.
But there's, like, all this, like, rumors about her doing a movie and...
They're definitely not. Definitely
no,
not.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't know. I mean, it could be wrong.
Right.
But it's a lot easier to do a few days of a cameo, or she did the Peggy's voice in one of the cartoons.
Right.
It's a lot easier to do a voiceover that just takes you, like, a day or two, depending on how long the thing is, than to actually commit to a movie. And she's obviously enjoying... I mean, she's doing... So she did a Howard's End. She's filming a movie now that she couldn't tell me about because they haven't announced it yet, which I thought was funny because I'm like, you're filming it right now?
Yeah.
You haven't announced it? Huh. And then she's doing something at the beginning of next... year, I think, or it's gonna air at the beginning of next year.
Oh, okay.
That's a collaboration where it's like a 5-part series. They're not really connected, but they're 5 stories focused on women.
Interesting.
So, and she gets to help kind of come up with who her character is. So she couldn't tell me anything because they hadn't finished deciding.
Well, that's
yet.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does sound like, and that's not just, you know, getting to act, but also getting to be part of a creation.
Yes.
So that's good.
Exactly.
She was in Conviction,
yes.
That show that got canceled, like, immediately,
yeah,
right?
Which apparently she says is the reason that Agent Carter got canceled, because ABC wanted to use her in other stuff. And so they canceled Agent Carter.
I don't think that's the reason Agent Carter got canceled.
I think it's probably...
the ratings?
More than...
Yeah, the ratings were not good. And then they did Conviction. They were like, okay, obviously you are not actually drawing viewers.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because she's great. But...
She is awesome. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
But for whatever reason.
But there's a reason Peggy is, like, her big shining... Like, that's the big thing she's done
that's
that
true.
People know about.
That's true.
But, yeah. I don't know. But other than that, the TCAs are kind of, half of it is stuff that I would never get to report on because we just don't report on it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of reality TV, but man, so much free stuff. I couldn't believe it. It was, I was coming home every day with totes full.
That's
of
awesome.
Crap. I have a free, like a Tiffany frame that Hallmark gave us. I have like a really cool denim tote that HBO gave us with a map of Westeros on it. I know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Somebody was asking me earlier, is like, are you going to give anything away? I'm like, the best stuff is probably going to stay in my house. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's a good thing, at least. I mean, you gotta, you know.
They're really fun.
You got a good haul.
It's really interesting to get to talk to other people, but Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of stuff that I was just like, I just don't find this interesting. But what we will have coming up is I did some interviews for Versailles.
Yes.
Which is about to, September 27th on Ovation will air its second season, which has already aired everywhere else in the world.
Everywhere else in the world that it airs.
We're getting it last.
Ovation?
Ovation, which I don't even know what channel
it is. Yeah, I don't know what channel it is. But
I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah.
It's also, the first season's on Netflix already. And they're filming the third season right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's already aired everywhere else.
Yeah.
It's a French production, but it's in English, which I thought was really weird because I'm like, the French are really protective of their language.
Yeah.
Why would you film a...
Is it French actors speaking in English?
There's a couple French actors, but most of them are actually English.
That's so weird.
Or British.
Yeah.
It turns out that the reason is because when you make a show about Versailles and you want to film at Versailles, you need a lot of money. Uh-huh. And that means doing it in English. So, sorry, French people.
That sucks.
There's a reason. English is a bastard language that just absorbs, like, and it changes constantly. Uh-huh. And that's why we all speak English instead of French. Otherwise, we probably, if the French hadn't been so controlling over their language, we probably would all be speaking French. But they control their language too much. And so, sorry, your most expensive television show that's ever been produced in France
is
actually in English. And they've got to hate that. But
that sucks.
You haven't watched
it. No, I haven't watched it. But yeah, tell me about it. Obviously, Versailles is involved.
Yeah, it's about the first season is about Louis wanting to create Versailles.
Okay.
So he makes it. And it's very centric on Louis and his brother Philippe. And I will admit, I had not seen it before I had to do the interview. Well, before I knew I was going to have to do the interview.
Oh, really?
So I watched the first and the last episode of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the first three episodes of the next season. I'm going back now and I've started trying to watch the rest of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say I find the second season far more interesting. And I think that is because the first season focused so much on Louis and Philippe. And as interesting as they are, the second season focuses a lot on the women.
That's what I like.
And it's far more interesting. There's far more, it's more about like the intrigue and the court politics.
Right.
And you know, because you've got the mistresses, you've got the queen, you've got the poisoners, because
the poisoners.
The historically, basically Louis built this palace and then made everybody live there. He basically tried to control the entire court by keeping everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a bunch of rich people stuck in a building,
someone's got to poison somebody else.
Everybody starts killing everybody. Apparently that's what happens.
So it's just like a rich game of Clue.
So I guess the White House, we just have to wait for that to start happening. we're going to... They poison each other in the media. I guess they're maybe they
there
won't,
you go.
Maybe they won't get to actual poisoning.
Well,
other,
we can hope. One can only hope.
Yeah. Really. So let's start at the top. Yeah. So it's I like the second season a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna finish the first season, but I'm really excited to see what else happens.
Very cool.
There's a character that's introduced in the second episode of the second season, and she's Philippe's. Well, I can't say. Anyway.
Oh, she's someone to Philippe. Someone to Philippe.
And it ruins the end of the first season. But she's hilarious. And it was one of those things where I didn't realize I was missing something in the first season. Or I realized there was something missing, but I couldn't figure it out. And she shows up.
And then that was it.
And she's amazing. And she's literally introduced off the side of a bridge peeing. And that's
how Tyrion Lannister of her.
She's a princess, and she's just that's what happened. What do? You're in the middle of nowhere. There's no porta potties around.
Sometimes you gotta pee off the bridge.
Sometimes you just gotta pee where you pee. Even if you are a princess.
Well, that's pretty awesome. I will check it out. So you said the first season is on Netflix.
The first season is on Netflix.
Okay, but I have to wade through that to get to the second season.
Yeah,
which will be airing on Ovation.
September 27th.
It starts September 27th. So find out where Ovation is.
So I have interviews with four of the ladies.
Okay.
And we will be adding those into our podcasts around the beginning. So probably start in the beginning of September and then go through the end. Like,
okay.
We probably won't include the one with Jessica, the princess, until the first episode has already aired.
Saving the best for last.
So yes, because she's not introduced till the second episode anyway, so she doesn't have anything to say about the first episode. She's not in it. What does she care? So yeah, I think it's interesting. It's very raunchy. And the way it starts, it's like, oh, they want you to know that. Although apparently people complained because they were like, I was basically promised porn and you didn't have enough of it.
So will there be more porn upcoming?
There hasn't been that. Well, a little bit, but it's not as graphic. Although we did talk about the fact that they have no problem showing full frontal nudity of the women, but the men.
The men. Oh, they don't show. I want penis. Yeah. What's up with this?
Be fair, guys.
Exactly. Every time. It's like in Game of Thrones, where the first penis you saw was Hodor's. I'm like, oh, okay.
It was, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. My God, that's weird.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Sorry, but
that's... And then I guess sorry. Theon's member, once it was cut off.
Ew. Speaking of Game of Thrones, actually.
Yeah.
Can we just go on to that? Because, yeah. There's not actually that much... As much as the TCAs are fun, I'll be writing all those stories, so read them.
Yeah, so exactly. With an accent.com, TCA yes. stories.
Yes.
Okay, Game of Thrones.
So Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
It was a good episode. Aside from the shitty end to the already shitty treatment of the Martells, that was just not necessary, but everything else.
They really just wanted to get rid of
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
And it sounds like we are never, ever going to see them again.
Right.
So we just assume that, yes, they both die in that dungeon, and it's really horrible.
Yeah. But everything else I really enjoyed, yes.
Yeah, it was interesting, because seeing all the people who were so upset that, like, the meeting with Danny and John didn't really go down the way they wanted it to.
How did they want it to go down?
I think they wanted it to be happy, cheerful, yay, we're all going to work together. And it's like, that's not realistic.
Yeah, that's not Danny,
yeah,
first of all.
That's not Danny. Yeah. And who was going to believe John, like, out of nowhere?
I like there's a little bit of...
hesitance.
Yeah, but she's willing to give him a chance, right?
She is willing to give him a chance. Although it was funny, because when the part where she starts talking about nobody believed in dragons, mm-hmm. I was waiting for her to go into... So maybe I should keep an open mind, and she doesn't go there.
No.
It's like, nobody believed in dragons. You've got three flying outside. Why don't you think that there's even a chance? It's like, no, dragons are okay. But this might be.
Right.
I did think it was interesting, too, that John didn't want her to know that he came back from the dead.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. I don't know what that means. Like, what would she think of that if she knew that?
Yeah.
Or what does he think she would think? Because I feel like if she knew that, she would be impressed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, would she even believe it, right?
Yeah. True. I did like that she mentions it to Tyrion later in the episode and is like, did you notice that? Because he stopped talking and there was something else there. He stabbed in the heart? What does that mean?
Yeah, it'll obviously be relevant in some way. I don't know how, but...
Yeah.
We'll at least
she lets him go looking for the dragon.
Exactly. And the best part is that now it's like he has to, like, travel or whatever. It's like, he'll have to travel to get proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... if this was season one or two, that would take the entire season for him to travel.
Yes.
And now he'll just be back next episode. And be like, I have proof now.
I saw some joke where somebody was like, they're going to go down into to mine the dragon glass and find the secret portal that lets them just transport overnight.
That's literally what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're just going to get some dragon glass, go fight some White Walkers, and be back by the end of the episode.
Yes. It's like, hey.
See, here's the White Walker I told you that I was going to bring you.
Yeah. What did you think of Bran and... the way that...
I don't know whose decision that was. Like, you mean, like, he's, like, emotionless robot
completely
self?
Emotionless. I was like, when did that happen? Because we didn't really see him go...
Yeah. I mean, we didn't get very much of him.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, in the training of the Three-Eyed Raven, he'd become like that, presumably. But he only trained with that guy for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that that's
I guess
what
maybe
happens.
He's been downloaded with so much information since then.
Right.
Is what we're supposed
that's
to speculate.
That's the idea, but I don't really...
It was interesting, and it worked to have him recanting to Sansa, probably the most horrific day of her life.
Yes, and so eerie. It was so eerie. The way
that was a really good way of showing, A, how fucked up he is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and B, that he really does know everything, because...
Yeah.
He
definitely
knew about that.
Right.
Yeah.
He knew, like, that was a great way of showing that he knows everything. And it was super eerie that he doesn't seem to, like, even though he's, like, saying, like, I feel really bad about that, but, like, I don't seem like I feel bad about it because I'm saying it so frequently.
Yeah, because I'm completely monotone and expressionless, and there's no,
And
I don't even hug you back.
Yeah, it was, like, an interesting way of downplaying that, especially when you compare it to the Sansa John reunion, which... no one would have, I don't think anyone would have expected that to be, like, super emotional, because it's, like, they barely even know each other.
Yeah.
You know? But that was, like, a really emotional, and, like, now they really feel like a family. And now it's, like, Bran and Sansa. If you read the books, Sansa was probably the closest to Bran. So you would expect that to be a much happier reunion, but instead it's, like, you're at a distance from Bran, because he's, like, a weird three-eyed raven person now.
Did you see that the quote where, or the tweet somebody put up where it's, like, Arya, you know, I change faces to kill people.
Yeah.
John, I died and came back to life. And then Bran, I am the three-eyed raven. And Sansa's like, what the fuck? Because as horrible as her story has been, she's had the most normal story.
Right. She's like the human.
Yeah.
The human one.
It's fucked up, but it's believable
right.
compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting too that in the trailer for the next episode, mm-hmm. which this might go after the episode airs, but we'll see. That they show Arya and on the horse, and you see Winterfell in the background.
Yes, yes, reunion time.
I really thought that there was a double meaning to the scene with her in Nymeria when she says uh-huh. that's not you. I thought that was not just about Nymeria, uh-huh. but about her, because their direwolves reflect them so much. Right. That it was that we were going to see the next time we saw Arya, she was going to be back on her way to King's Landing. That she was going to realize she can't go home. That she just couldn't.
Oh, see, I thought
or
it was.
At least not now.
Yeah, I guess I thought it was the up, because, like, when we first saw her, she was on her way to King's Landing to kill mm-hmm. whoever. Cersei. I know this. but then she saw Nymeria, and I thought that would be, like, she changed directions. But the that's not you is, I don't know what that means now.
Yeah.
But I am glad she's changing directions, because I was like, what, you're not gonna kill Cersei. So this is pointless. A pointless excursion.
I don't know. She might be.
She could. Jamie has to. But also, I mean, Cersei's not gonna die until the final season. That's what I'm like. I mean, like, as an audience
member,
I know. You
don't think she might die this season?
I hope she does. But I feel like if she does die, it'll be like the very last episode.
Yeah.
But,
although they don't kill people usually in the last episode. They do it like the second to last episode.
And that's
then
true.
They
second
set
to last.
Up, and all, then the last episode is just set up for the next
yeah.
season.
Did Margaery die in the second to last or the last episode last year?
Oh, it was last episode. Yeah, yeah, the Tyrells went out.
So upset about that. Yeah, I'm still so upset. Margaery had so much going for her.
I love that episode is like the second hardest for me to watch
yeah.
now, because
after
the Red Wedding,
right,
is
the Red Wedding,
the
and then
one.
The whatever you want to call it, the Purple Keep. I don't know what you
the green.
Actually, isn't it the Red Keep? Isn't literally also called the Red
yes,
Keep?
Yes.
Or was it the Sept? I don't know whatever was burned.
The Sept of Baelor.
The Sept of Baelor. Yeah. So right. Golden Sept. The Golden Sept. There you go.
Yeah. The Red Keep is the house.
Yeah.
Is the
building adjacent or whatever.
The castle.
Yeah.
Right.
I think so.
Anyway.
I think you're right. But anyway, yeah, so Cersei will die near the end of the season. If the season ends with, like, okay, now it's just full-on White Walker war,
yeah.
Cersei has nothing to do with that, so
yeah.
she could be dead by then.
Yeah.
I could accept that.
Have you seen the screenshot where they pointed out, because we got the Hound talking
mm-hmm.
about what he saw in the flames, and that it's they just walk around? Have you seen
the
screenshot?
No, I haven't seen that screenshot, no.
So, because that's weird, because it's like, how did they walk around... Well, there's
yeah.
a screenshot. If you look at the in the credits
mm-hmm.
when they pan up to the wall, if you compare the wall, the images of the wall and from this season
mm-hmm.
and to before winter, the ice is freezing. So that's how they're gonna do it. They're just gonna freaking walk around the wall because there's ice there now. They're literally gonna walk around the wall.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that's really not helpful.
Yeah.
I think that's actually what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It would make sense for that to be the end of the season, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The end of the season, like, the wall will fall, or they'll just walk around the wall.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will... Because that's what they've been saying.
And then next year
all.
Is,
yeah.
oh, shit, we should have believed Jon
and
Jorah
now we
Mormont
yep.
when they all said... Or not Jorah. Jorah's...
Jorah's the guy with...
Which one's the father?
Grayscale. Jor? Are you talking about Jorah's father, Jor?
Yes.
Yeah, Jorah Mormont.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Jor Mormont, not Jorah. Jorah is the one with the grayscale. Which, have you seen the theory that part of fighting the White Walkers, that Jorah's story is more important because part of fighting the White Walkers is maybe they have to be infected with grayscale and then they can't be turned?
I had not seen that theory, but
like,
that is interesting.
Because otherwise, why are you spending so much time on grayscale?
That's true. Like, no one really
something.
Cares. Yeah. And like, Jorah didn't even need to get grayscale in the first place. So, I guess it does. That makes sense. And he's with Sam, who is, like, the connoisseur of how to defeat White Walkers.
Yes.
So, I guess.
And supposedly the in story, George R. R. Martin, that he's going to be the one who, like, recounts the whole story, I guess.
Okay, I like that.
I like that.
Like,
that's cute.
I do like that
I
idea.
Like that one.
Because he's always loved books, right? And that's his thing.
Yeah, he likes history
yeah.
and telling
yeah.
stories.
Aw, that would be satisfying.
Yeah. But going back to Cersei... Could she be any more of the Mad Queen? Like, she's almost exactly mirroring
yeah.
the Mad King. It's kind of scary.
Right.
It's like, Jaime, you actually had to kill him. At what point are you going to realize
that
no,
you have to kill her?
Really is that
yeah.
up?
That's true. I love that scene with Olenna, where
mm-hmm.
she was basically going in. Yeah, where she's going into
Olenna
first
Tyrell.
Off. Yeah. She went out like a badass.
Yes.
But yeah, but she was like telling him, you know, this is how it is with Cersei, and one day, you know.
And people have told them that several times,
mm-hmm.
that she's going to be your downfall.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because he's probably going to have to kill her, and that's going to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what, he does love her.
Ugh, yeah.
Even if he is unfortunately fucking crazy to do so.
Unfortunately.
I'm one of those people who doesn't think he's going to have a happy ending with Bran.
Oh, no, he won't. He won't. He's gonna. His ass is going to die. He's going to die. That's why, in the book, Bran has Hyle Hunt. But in the show, she does not have Hyle Hunt. She has Tormund Giantsbane.
Except that that's not actually going to happen.
Yeah,
apparently.
He's probably going to die,
so
too.
She's not going to get anybody, but she and Pod will be buddies.
Yeah, she and Pod will be buddies. There you go.
I was so... When we watched the mm-hmm. trailer for next week, there's a shot of Pod falling down for a second. I thought it was Gendry, and I was like, is that Gendry? No.
Yeah, my friend did the exact same thing. She's like, I just saw Gendry in the trailer, and I was like, what? But no, it was fucking Pod.
It was Pod.
Every day I wait for Gendry.
Every day, I just wait for him.
He's for his boat to come in.
He's gonna come up on his boat and be like, what the fuck happened here?
Right?
I've just been on a boat this whole time. Fishing, peeing off the side.
I do want to know.
He figured out
what...
desalination.
Exactly. There you go. I do want to know what they are going to say he was doing, if they say anything at all, or if he just shows up and is like, hey, guys.
Because it's been a long time. Because they keep saying that the reason that it doesn't take very long for people to get anywhere is because there's actually a lot more time passing than you think. It's months,
right,
as opposed to 5 seconds.
Right.
But then where the fuck is Gendry?
I mean, he was supposed to go off to Essos or Braavos or whatever. So like, it would have made sense for Arya to meet him while she was over there.
Yeah.
But instead, now we're going to see him again in Westeros. So what brings him back?
What if that's why Melisandre goes there?
Oh, maybe to go grab him.
But, like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what does he have to do with anything now that she's not connected to Stannis? So that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I guess maybe she could be like, hey, Davos, sorry. Here's the last relative of Stannis's.
She could run into him, yeah. It could be the, look, the Baratheons aren't completely dead.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. I brought you one back.
I found a house that's not dead, because we're losing so many houses.
I know.
We've lost...
Tyrells are gone, Martells are gone, Baratheons are gone, minus Gendry.
Yeah.
And, no, he does know he's a Baratheon, that's right. So he could be House Baratheon from now on if he returns and survives. And survives. Come on, don't kill Gendry, guys. Don't bring him back just to take him away.
I still can't decide if they're ever going to actually tell Jon that he has to find out.
He has to find out, yeah.
It's not powerful enough unless...
Right.
Like, does Bran tell him? Or it's got to be.
Who else is going to tell him? Yeah, Howland Reed, who we've never met.
Yeah. Like, that'd be weird.
Yeah. Oh, wait, we did see him in the dream. That's right. We saw him in the vision.
Flashback. Yeah. Vision.
So technically, whatever. I guess he could tell him. But no, it's going to be Bran.
Yeah.
Probably.
And he'll be like, oh, by the way, you're not actually my brother.
Yeah.
You're a Targaryen.
I was surprised he didn't just, like, tell Sansa randomly. I was waiting for him to just be like, also, BTW, Jon's not our brother, he's our cousin.
Stop giving him so much shit for being a bastard, because he isn't really. Or is he?
Right, we don't know if it was...
I'm gonna guess he isn't.
Right, like, otherwise it's like, eh.
It makes it more of a complication.
Right, but they haven't brought up... Right. In order for him to be above the line from Daenerys, he would have to be legitimate.
Yes.
If he's a bastard, it doesn't matter. He's not even a Targaryen if he's a bastard. He's a Blackfyre. Or whatever. Whatever the fuck's a sand. You know, like, it doesn't matter. He's not even
a snow.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't born in the north.
Exactly. He was born in Dorne, so he's a sand. Even though his father's a Targaryen, which would make him whatever waters. But, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because...
So confusing.
He's not a Targaryen unless they're married. So, they have to be married.
They have to be married.
Yeah.
How do we think Dany's going to take that?
Right.
By the way...
Yeah.
She's either going to... It's hard because it's like she places so much emphasis...
On how she's the
on how
rightful
she's
heir.
The rightful heir.
Yeah, exactly.
She'd be freaking
pissed.
Hypocrite if she doesn't say, well, all right then.
That's
but
the thing,
there
yeah.
is no proof of it.
Also true.
Unless there is proof somewhere.
So I'm supposed to believe your brother that
yeah.
you are the rightful heir. That's true. That's
yeah.
true. Oh, look at that. That's
That's interesting.
I feel like it'll be used to introduce conflict in their relationship once
they're
working well together.
But they already started to plant the seeds of a romantic thing by having him kind
of
be like, wow, she's hot.
Yeah.
Because he was surprised.
But yes.
By that.
So yeah, so they all start to trust each other and work together. And then bone. And then find out that they're related, but that won't be the issue, because they're Targaryens. The issue will be that he's the rightful heir to the throne, and not her. And then she'll be like, it's time to battle.
Yeah. Or they can just be like, Jon doesn't want to rule anyway, so
right.
I bet he's like...
Or he'd be like, but what if we got
we
married, and then we're both... Exactly, we get married, and we'll both rule, fine.
William
we're both
Mary,
equally...
William and Marriott.
Yeah.
And you, except that William still really was the ruler.
Well, he'll probably, he could, like, defer. He'll defer to you and be like, Sansa taught me that sometimes women can say things that are smart. So I will allow you to rule. Aww. And I'll just, like, take care of battles.
But Davos is the king of, like, the speeches now.
That was
a man. I'm just like, Davos, lay it down.
Davos is amazing.
I love Davos.
Also, it was hilarious. Like, everyone's talking about him. A Missandei's long speech about, like, all of Daenerys' names. And then Davos being like, this is Jon Snow. He is king in the north.
I got nothing. I don't know all the fun stuff that I could be saying, but it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's not important. Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. And it also shows the contrasting, like, because Daenerys is all about, like, even though she has, in her own way, earned the right to rule.
Yeah.
She earned the right to rule Meereen, yeah. Right? But she's all about being the rightful ruler and, like, this is my birthright and this is all.
Yeah.
And then Jon is more like, I just wound up here because I did some shit and I helped some people and now yeah. I'm here.
And everybody likes me.
Yeah.
Weirdly
inexplicably.
Enough. Like, no. I don't try. I'm just kind of trying to be a good person. I guess that's a good thing.
Right.
Maybe some people see that as a good thing.
Well, he's like the Harry Potter of the series, right? Yes, like, Harry Potter's just like, I'm just here. It just turned out that for some reason I had to do
everything keeps happening around me.
Exactly.
I don't want to be in charge of all of it either, but I'm also a good person, so I don't just ignore it all.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah. Anyway. I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, like, what else went down, even, in the episode we had.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, Sam Euron
is really fucking creepy.
Yes. Yeah, he is.
That's so creepy.
He's funny, but mostly I'm just like, I can't wait for him to be off the screen.
I know, I don't want him to die. Where Theon found one of the few ships
right.
that survived.
Yeah, like, greater ships, battle. And then they beat him up because he didn't help Yara. He let her die. Yeah. Yeah. Which, yeah. Theon, come on. Come on, Theon.
He's gotta play some kind of role at some point, right? Like, something
yeah.
important, because otherwise we're like, why do we even care about Theon?
Right.
They keep reminding us that he's important, kind of, like, by having him there, so
right.
something's gotta happen eventually. He's gotta redeem himself.
I don't know. Yeah, right? I mean, he sort of redeemed himself last season with Sansa, but then it was yeah. like, we just started over again with Yara.
Yeah.
So, you failed again.
Yeah.
Also, is Yara for reals dead? Did we see? No,
no,
we saw her.
She's
she was being held captive, right? That's right.
Euron took her.
That's right.
He didn't give her
to Cersei. Okay.
Cersei
okay.
just got Ilaria.
So hopefully that does mean that Yara will play a role in the future, and maybe Theon will help rescue her with his peeps or something.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But things aren't going very well for Daenerys right now.
No. No, that's right. That's right. Because Cersei, well, it wasn't really Cersei, but Jaime, it was actually Jaime,
yeah.
right? Faked them out with Casterly Rock,
so they go all
is
the
now
boats.
Worthless. Yeah.
Yeah,
and they went over to take.
It is interesting mm-hmm. that after all of that, Tyrion was the one who made more of Casterly Rock than it actually was.
Yeah,
it was. I was like, oh, that's a big fuck up.
That's true.
And that was actually a very interesting way to do that story.
Yeah,
yeah. It's otherwise it looked like it was going to be too easy for Dany, and
mm-hmm.
now she's really, like, off.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the wrong foot completely because she's lost all of her allies. So now she really needs Jon.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I mean, because usually they usually have Tyrion as, like, the mastermind of whatever the game, you know?
Yeah.
And now, yeah, he did make too much of his namesake.
Yeah.
And I guess it's interesting because, like, we already knew that they didn't have money, but
yeah.
it's sort of like the way that he. Like, they were building it up. I was like, okay, this is definitely going to work. It's going to be awesome. Like,
yeah.
no way does Cersei want to give up Casterly Rock, but...
She doesn't care.
Yeah, because there's
no
work
to it.
That's
not where she lives
anyway.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
lives
yeah,
right
Yeah, they
now,
don't
anyway.
Live there. She doesn't care about anyone else. It's not her or Jaime. And they don't have any money anyway, so...
I don't think we're going to get to see Jaime actually tell her
mm-hmm.
that Olenna was responsible
oh, yeah,
for
no.
Joffrey's death, but man, I want to see that reaction.
That would be awesome.
She'd still find a way to blame Tyrion because
right.
she just hates him that much, but...
Yeah, like, I guess it's
oh.
true. It's like, at least
now Jaime knows.
Yeah, at least now Jaime knows that
it wasn't
even
Tyrion.
Though, even though they sort of parted on good terms anyway, like, he didn't seem to
Except
care.
Except for the part where he killed their father.
Yeah. Like, that happened after, right?
Yes.
So then it's like, now he's like, okay, I'm still... That still did happen. I'm still kind of mad at
I
you.
Hope we get to see them together again, even right. if it's just, like, he dies in Tyrion's arms, but at least they're
yeah.
friendly again.
I mean, I feel like they made too much of that relationship early on to not pay it forward, or, you know, wrap it up.
Which
whenever one of them dies.
I think everybody's gonna die.
There'll be no one left standing at the end. Starks will be fine, okay? Starks are gonna live.
I don't think any more Starks are gonna die, but Bran's gonna go live in a tree or something.
Yeah, we don't care about Bran. He's not Bran anymore. He's just a robot.
And I don't think Arya's gonna be able to stay home.
That's true. She'll probably head out again. And Jon will probably be ruling in the south with Daenerys, so it'll just be Sansa ruling Winterfell. Yeah, Sansa, Queen of the North, yes! Yeah, also, the North has to be a separate kingdom. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't accept this
When do we get to watch Littlefinger die?
This season. That's going to happen this season for sure. Because Littlefinger, like, even more so than Cersei could maybe be made to, like, because Jaime was giving that fake gas speech about how, like, once she does build that kingdom, they're not going to care how she did it. Mm-hmm. So if that is true, then she would pull it together to allow them to fight the North. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the White Walkers.
Yeah.
But Littlefinger could not give a crap about that. So he's got to go before... before they can fully turn their attention to that war.
That'll be the next really... Well, which one do you want to see die more? Littlefinger or Cersei? That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
I don't think there's anybody else I really need to see die.
If it's...
Right now?
If Sansa's involved in his death, then that's one I want to see more.
Yeah.
Because I want that, like, justice, right? But otherwise, Cersei's, I feel like, at this point, done much more shit. I just cannot wait for her to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on how Littlefinger goes out, I think. And, like, how it plays out.
Right.
I was just really... I thought it was funny because when we were watching the, like, previously on, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so Littlefinger's not going to get creeping on Sansa because they didn't remind us of the fact that Jon threatened her.
Right.
Or threatened him if he went anywhere near his sister. So I was like, oh, okay, well then at least he's not going to be, like, trying to get in her pants, because, ew.
It's so gross. I can't handle it. So gross. I did love her. Like, now she's just, like, talking back to everything he says now. She's like, oh, wow, yeah. Thank you for that brilliant observation.
Yeah, the scene with her, like, giving all the orders and stuff, that was amazing. Right before Bran shows up.
Yes,
I was like, yay, Sansa actually being awesome.
Yes.
And allowed to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm very pleased with that. I love, see, like, even though, like, Arya's development, and, like, it's sad that she has to be that way, but, like, she's awesome at it, so, like, yay. And Sansa's getting awesome at her thing, and I like Jon now, which in the early seasons I was like, Jon, shut up! And now I'm
like... he had to grow. You can't start. You have to have a journey. You have to have the
hero's journey. I like Jon now. The only Stark I'm sad about is Bran. Because
what? He's monotone. And...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just such a strange choice. But that's obviously a directorial, you know, showrunner choice.
Yeah.
So.
It makes sense. Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot going on in his head.
Yeah. So it's like.
Because he can see the future, too.
Yeah.
Right?
So it makes sense that he's, like, emotionally disconnecting himself from everything. Otherwise, he'd be fried, I guess.
You could say that. Oh, no, it's not going to happen. Sansa's going to live. Because I was like, is he emotionally disconnecting himself from her because he knows that she's not going to
happen? I will kill you.
Right now.
I will kill you.
She is going to live. She's going to be the queen of the North.
Yes. She has to be. Someone's got to be queen of the North, and it's not going to be Jon.
And it's not going to be Arya. It's not going to be Arya. Arya's going to go be a faceless person.
Right.
Even without the faceless people behind
her. She will be the new faceless, like, the new head of the faceless people.
She'll be like, screw you, people.
She'll be like half-faced. Sometimes you get to be yourself, and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm still Arya Stark, but I can put other notes.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.